Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. I know the last couple of weeks we've been going straight into the Bible study, but with Patch the Pirate tonight, we didn't weren't able to do that. But we'll so we won't be able to cover all this subject tonight. And then next week we have one of our missionaries coming in. He was scheduled to come early in the year, and he had car broke down. He ended up being in the hospital, so he'll be there next Wednesday. So we'll probably finish this up on the following Wednesday, the best that I can tell. For the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at this idea of forgiveness, who me? And we began looking at this idea, first of all, we looked at and discussed how that we are to respond to others mistreating us. And we gave some good biblical answers for us how we are to do that. Then we saw how we are to respond to a brother or a sister that sins against us. And then we saw last week how that we are to respond when someone refuses to grant us forgiveness. And tonight I want to look at another topic that I've entitled simply this: questions concerning forgiveness. Perhaps maybe there are some questions rolling around in your mind as we walk through this area of forgiveness. Maybe I'll be able to touch on one of those. I'm not going to be able to cover every situation, but maybe you have a specific situation that God has brought to your heart and to your mind, and if you would want to call me up or text me or send me an email or stop by sometime during the day, I'd love to be able to talk with you about that as we work through this thing of forgiveness. I think it's very important for us to study forgiveness in more than just a superficial kind of way, and deeply and detailed study of forgiveness, because number one, we've been forgiven, amen. And if we've been forgiven, we need to understand what forgiveness is all about and what God's expectation it is for us as well. So let's look here this evening. We'll begin reading in Psalms 66. We'll read just one verse today, and then we'll go ahead and start. So let's read Psalm 66, verse number 18. The Bible said, "But if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you, Father, for your goodness to us, for your love to us. And Father, now as we kind of come to this question and answer time, Lord, I pray that you would be a help to your people today. Maybe a question that I'm going to bring out, Father, would be one that they've been thinking about. And Father, I ask that if they have someone has a question about forgiveness, Father, at some other time they would come and they would let us speak with them, Father, to try to be a great help and a great blessing to them from your word. So Father, minister to our hearts today in this area of forgiveness, for it's Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, last couple of weeks we've been making mention of this and noticing, particularly in Luke chapter 17 and verse number 3 and 4, that if we've been offended, that we need to go to that person and try to make things right. So the first question I want to ask you tonight and answer is simply this: why should I go? Why should I go? Well, I think, first of all, because God's word commands us to go. If there's no other reason why, we ought to go for that reason. You say, well, I don't feel like it. Don't matter what we feel like. You say, well, I don't know what to say. It doesn't matter if you don't know what to say. Listen, the Bible says God commands us to go. And so whether we've been the one who has been offended, according to Luke chapter 17, we looked at those verses in our earlier studies in verses 3 and 4, or if we've been the one who has offended someone and we have not given them forgiveness, and we know about it, we're commanded to go according to Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and verse number 24. So whether we've been offended or we're the one that has offended someone else, we have a biblical mandate to go. And I think the first reason that we ought to go is because God's word commands us to. But I think there's another reason. I think it is another reason we ought to go is because it's a matter of obedience. You see, when we fail to obey God's word, guess what? It hinders our relationship with God. That's what our text says. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so I don't know about you, but I surely don't want to be in a position that I knowingly know that the Lord is not going to hear my prayer because of the sin that I have in my life. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter number 1. And if anyone would like to look at the King James Study Bible, the new one, the new King James Study Bible. You're welcome to look at mine. I have it here. It'll be up front here. You can take a look at it, and Pastor James will take the order sheet and put it on the back table back there. If you're looking for a study Bible, I can tell you there's none better than this. But let me just say this: it's not a flimsy thing. You see how thick it is, but that's because the notes are so good. So maybe you're like you want to have a good study Bible, and then maybe you want to have one that you just bring to church, whatever you feel led to do. But I can tell you this: this is one of the best study overall general study Bibles that I've ever have found. And I can't say that I have found one note that I didn't agree with. Amen. I'm not saying it's not in there, but I haven't found it yet. So let's read here in 1 John chapter number 1. We're going to read down verses 5 through verse number 10. Who would read verses 5 and 6 tonight? 5 and 6. All right, thank you. Brian, you want to read 7 and 8? And who would read 9 and 10? Henry? All right, thank you. What a wonderful passage that speaks about walking in the light, particularly like verse number 7. But if we walk in the light, as he in the light, notice what happens. We have fellowship one with another. So as you and I walk with Jesus Christ, having our sins confessed, we have fellowship one with another. And so I think as we look at that, why should I go? Because it's a matter of obedience. And God commands us to go and make things right between each other. We need to walk together and have fellowship with one another. Well, I think there's a third reason why we should go, and that's because of the danger of church discipline. Now, we're not going to get into this again this week, because last week we covered church discipline to a pretty good extent, but I want you to understand this. It's easiest to repent at the lowest level. What do you think I mean by that? It's easiest to repent at the lowest level. What do I mean by that? When it first happens, yes, great answer. What else? When it only involves two people, Brian, yes. Yes, when it only involves two people, when it first happens, it's easier to repent, isn't it? Think about this. If you commit some kind of sin and it goes by, as a matter of fact, my wife was watching, what show was she watching? Little House on the Prairie, and the littlest girl stole Nellie Olson's little jewelry box that played music and stuff, and she had it up in her barn, and someone came in the barn, she got afraid someone was going to hear it, knocked it down, broke it. Well, Nellie Olson came to talk to her, and she was up there playing this thing, trying, and found out it was broke, ended up blackmailing her for it. And so she said, well, don't tell my dad, because she knew what dad would do if he found out he caught her stealing. What dad should do, take his belt off and take care of the situation, amen, and make her repent and make restitution. But she didn't want that. And so what happened, a day goes by, and Nellie Olson's trying to get her to do mean things to this new girl in town. But she goes home at night, has this nightmare of some judge saying, you're going to have to stay in school for 100 years, and you know, all kinds of things. And then she wakes up sweating, screaming. So the next day goes, same problems at school, same problem with Nellie Olson and that new friend. Goes to bed again, wakes up the next night, pounding on the cabin door. Now dad hears, right? So what happens is she looks at her sister and says, Mary, don't tell. So Mary said, oh, she fell out of bed. So what happened was, now we find the little one sinned by stealing, caused her sister to sin and lying to her father, and guess what? Goes back to sleep. It happens all over again. Listen, the best time to get forgiveness is right when it happens. Don't delay it time and time again. So So we find that's the best answer. And then I find it's also what Nola said. It's easier to get forgiveness when it's one-on-one. When you know that you've sinned against that person, you go and take care of it. It's done with. It's over. It's harder because our flesh, when someone else gets involved, now the pastor has to come with a deacon or two and says, hey, this is what happened. You make things right. Oh, no, I didn't do it. Now your flesh starts to get in. It's just easier to take care of it just as soon as that sin happens. But I want you to understand, failure to repent at that level makes it more difficult for you to repent later, but that's not an excuse for you not to be unbiblical. As a matter of fact, we sometimes say this to ourselves, well, I know that the Bible tells me I should go to that person, but you know what? I think it's only going to make things worse. Listen, so I'm not going to go to them because it's only going to be worse if I go to them and tell them that they have offended me. Listen, sometimes things appear to be worse before they get better. But notice, that's just an assumption. They just appear. You just assume they're going to get worse. But I want you have this promise from God's word that anytime we do right, God is going to honor it. It will not be worse. It will be made right. So don't let the devil tell you otherwise. The first question that we answered is, why should I go? Why should I go to that one and tell them they have sinned against me? But then, here's the second question. We already kind of covered it, but is this, when should I go? When should I go? In Matthew chapter number 5, we find that Jesus describes it as a very urgent situation. And this is what he said in Matthew 5 and verse 23 and verse 24. He said, first be reconciled. At this point, Jesus considers this matter of reconciliation one that supersedes even worship, one that supersedes even our prayer. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter number 12, and let's look at verses 14 and 15. And then we'll finish up for tonight. Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15. Right, page 1991 in the New King James Study Bible. Who would like to read that for the pastor? All right, Shannon, thank you. All right, thank you, Shannon. So when should we go? Well, I think that Jesus describes as an urgent situation in Matthew 5 and verse number 23. But here in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15, we find the Apostle Paul basically says this, and I'm putting this in my own words, in my own paraphrase. He says, get right both with men. And he says, pursue peace with all men. Then he says, get right with God, speaking about our holiness. And when we think about holiness, we need to understand that we are told without it, no one is going to see the Lord. And I want you to understand this evening that our lack of holiness and our obedience to God is the obstacle for you and I to have that close relationship with God. God tells us, the Word tells us, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so, guess what? If we want to have a close, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, because He is holy, we ought to be holy as well. But then notice in that same verse, it says, lest any man fail for the grace of God. And so as we look at that part of the verse and that context of that verse, we find that Paul is saying, lest any man fall short of the grace of God. He says that we must get right. We must be right with God's grace. And then as we continue with that thought, I think that we should look very diligently to keep ourselves and others from a return of legalism. That's the context of what Paul is teaching there in Romans. He said, don't fall back to legalism. He said, you already have come from that. Don't go back to legalism. And I thought about that. How would this apply to you and I today? And I think really that we should look diligently to keep ourselves and others from returning to legalism. And I know what you're saying. Well, Pastor Carroll, I'm there on Sunday evenings when you teach on Galatians, and believe me, I'm not falling into the legalism. But I think when you look at legalism, I think there's a framework we need to look at. The first one is the outward form, and then there's the inward form that falls short of God's grace. See, most of us don't have an outward form of legalism. I mean, we don't believe we have to keep the law to attain righteous favor with God and to be saved and to stay saved, but because we know that we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But I think there is a problem sometimes that lies within inside of our heart, that we have an inward attitude of legalism. You say, well, Pastor Dave, what do you mean an inward attitude of legalism? I mean perhaps this. Notice that what may happen if we diligently don't pursue peace and holiness in God's grace. Hebrews 12:15 says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And so we don't have an outward form of legalism, but I think sometimes we have that inward form of legalism. Inside our heart, we have the wrong kind of attitude. Here the Apostle Paul is writing in Hebrews 12, and he talks about a bitter root. A bitter root is going to bear, guess what? Bitter fruit. And if we don't allow God's grace to work inside of our heart, guess what? It's almost as if we have a form of inward legalism, because we're not allowing God's grace to work in our heart and extend that grace out to someone that needs. A Bible scholar by the name of Morris says this: it's possible for the seed of bitterness to be sown though nothing is immediately apparent. In due time, the inevitable fruit appears. I can tell you this, that once the seed is sown, if we don't take care of it by God's grace, it will grow into a bitter fruit deep inside of our life. And I believe this, that too many Christians today are corrupted because of bitterness towards someone they feel has wronged them. I said before last week that I believe that most of the chastening process of God on us today is because of our failure to deal with this area of forgiveness and unforgiveness in our lives. And so as a result, we find that people hold on to bitterness, and they have incredible stubbornness as a result of bitterness in their life. And what they must do is remember that the grace of God was extended to them. It was extended to me. It was extended to you. And we need to start extending that grace towards others and loving the undeserved. Well, since this reconciliation that we talk about here is urgent, but it's also a preventive measure for you and I for not allowing bitterness to grow deep inside of us and consume us. So if for no other reason, let's get rid of this bitterness and let's go, and because Jesus describes it as an urgent situation, not only for others, but also more importantly for ourselves. Let's close in prayer. Father, we do love you this evening, and thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Father, I do thank you that we can look at these passages of Scripture, and we can answer this question, why should I go? Because you have commanded it. And we ask the second question, when should I go? And Father, we see that Jesus describes it as an urgent situation. When we come to the altar and come to pray or come to give our gifts, he says, first be reconciled. Is that important to